5 minutes past 10 o'clock on the Dave Charles Show, brought to you proudly by Bidvest McCarthy Toyota Bolito. And we get straight into our first interview of the day with Edward Lowe, who has been on a mission for a while. Edward, nice to have you in the studio.
Thank you very, very much for having me, Charles. It's quite amazing how we've gone full circle now from our first live interview with you at Sugar Rush to now coming back as an organization to give you feedback as what has happened from then to now.
Well, let's talk about that. What has happened from then to now? Maybe we just recap completely for those that don't know you or what you do. Who is Edward Lowe and what do you do?
Okay, so firstly, I'm a small business owner in Bolito. I moved down here about 9 years ago. And my life got changed on the 3rd of June 2024 by a tornado that crossed my path. Just to give you a bit of a background, I've got two children. They're both living in Australia. And before the tornado, to be honest, I had no hope and no future for this country. I was just so happy that my children were living in Australia and I believed that, you know, our country was done for. And this tornado took me to where I needed to be. And since then, we have grown tremendously as an organization, and this is all started because of that tornado, and where he, when I say he, the Lord wanted me to go and see. And
so you were nervous about the future of South Africa. Your kids got out, as many have, and found a new country to set up shop, leaving you behind. You must have been bereft.
Yes, I was. You know, it was very hard for my boy to go across. He really did not want to go across, and he begged me to come back. But I honestly believed that there was no future for them in this country. But I was very, very wrong.
Why did you believe that?
You know, if you look at the way we were going, or are going, or how things are at the moment, you know, I honestly believed that, you know, if this is the way we're going to go, that if we're going to go like the rest of Africa, it's just going to be no future for nobody. And I literally gave up on this country, to be honest.
Like many people did and have done.
And still are.
And yes, but there are very strong signs of change afoot, not only globally, but very clearly in South Africa. There is definitely, I think, an awareness that things cannot continue on the path of destruction. And it's quite clear, I think, that all South Africans, and I'm talking about ordinary South Africans, want the same things. We want a future. We want peace.
Yes,
we want prosperity,
absolutely.
Education, healthcare, security. It's just the basics, and it's what every politician promises. And yet, you know, when a politician promises anything, you have to take it with a little pinch of salt, I think. And that is where I believe the realization, the dawning of realization has come from. You cannot believe that someone else is going to fix anything for you, and you're a fantastic example of making a difference on a massive scale as one man, an individual. It's a very inspiring story.
Yeah, I'm going to have to correct you there. Even though, you know, I'm one man, I'm not. I'm supported by a lot of people. I've got a huge community. So before we even continue, I really want to say thank you to the community of Bolito. Had it not been for this amazing community, our organization would not be where we are today, not being able to help close to 6,000 children in the work that we've done in the last year alone. And it's all thanks to this amazing, amazing community.
I agree with you wholeheartedly, but you have galvanized the community. It always takes a leader. It takes an inspiration for people to get behind. And I believe that people really genuinely want to be part of the solution, not the problem. And I think South Africans, and particularly on the North Coast, there are wonderful people with kind hearts.
So many.
That
so many.
Are
so
just
many.
Waiting for an opportunity.
Yes.
You brought along an opportunity. So, yes. You know, congratulations.
No, thank you.
And kudos to
that.
You and, of course, the community.
You know,
that
all I do really, Charles, is I just connect the dots. You know, I find the opportunity, I find the right people, and I connect the right people with the right people. You know, I'm just doing as instructed. You know, the Lord tells me, this is what I want you to do. I want you to focus on A, B, C, and D, and I'll write that down, and I'll do exactly as He tells, and things just work out beautifully. And it took this tornado to take me out of my comfort zone, Bolito, the little bubble that I'm living, beautiful life, you know, safe, and to take me into an informal settlement and see hopelessness, see people that lost everything. And I came to the realization these people are exactly the same as you and I. They want a house. They want a job. They want a life. They want a life for their children. And hey, we as South Africans all have exactly the same need. And it took me going in there and realizing, you know, we have to.
Why did you go into a disaster zone in the first place?
Okay, so
everyone else was being told to get out.
Yes, and you went in. Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, being part of IPS, the search and rescue, as well as the search and rescue volunteer, I love going into danger. But in any case, what happened was on that faithful morning after the tornado, the Lord did something amazing for me, and I prayed, and I said, well, you know, you've done what I asked you to do. You know, what do you want me to do? And his first words to me were, I want you to help the people in Tongaat. And I burst out laughing. I said, how ridiculous does that sound? How can I possibly, as a small business owner, make any difference in these people's lives? And the next moment I realized, like, oh, well, hang on, I've made a deal here and I can't go back. And he gave me a list of things to do. And my first thing that I did was put a social media post out. I'm looking for people in the construction industry with experience that can help me with demolition and clearing work, cleaning work. And my post went viral. I couldn't believe the response that I had from this community. The next moment, people like Brett Michelin will phone me and give me a support vehicle, sort me out with food. I got everything sponsored. Thousands of liters of petrol for all our generators. And it was just unbelievable how our community just jumped on board and gave us everything that we needed. And off we went. And one thing led to the next. And before I could wipe my eyes, I was on the Tongaat Disaster Management Team, and I was the only private individual on this team of people made up out of the Red Cross, the Domino Foundation, the CEO of Hewlett, and I don't know what I was doing there, but there I was. And it just continued growing until I got to a crash called Kokosiswe in Makwaveni. And I was asked to see if we can maybe just put a temporary roof over this crash that's destroyed by the tornado. And I got there and I looked at the school and I walked around the school and I condemned the school. And I phoned the owner. I said, Baba, you need to come to the school and he speak to you. And he arrived there. Now, this man's 73 years old now. And he said to me, I said, we can't fix your school. And this old man started crying. And the next moment, the Lord said to me, just tell him, you're going to build him a new one. And I turned around and I did. I said to him, you're going to build you a new one. And I'm like, oh gosh, what did I say? And we did. 45 days later, there was a brand new school. You must go see what it looks like today. It's grown to 150 kids in this school now. And that was purely done through our community. If you go look at the big board that's up front in that school with all our sponsors, it was just so amazing. It was such a journey for me to walk into a place like Micah, Plumlink, and all these guys to say, listen, this is who I am. They don't know me from a bar of soap, and they helped me. And look at what we did. And it was while working with these children at this crash, this specific crash, that I came to the realization that these children are the future building blocks of our nation. If we do not take care of these kids, we are not going to have a future as a nation. And where do you fix something? You start at the bottom. And through the work of that crash led to another crash, and then 16 crashes, and then 34 crashes, and now we're up to 54 crashes in the work that we do.
54 crashes, yes. And continuing to, I can see you're a changed man.
I am.
Because you have experienced the power, I think, of love.
Absolutely.
On many levels. And absolutely. From a South African that saw no future, no hope, just sadness, you seem to be a man on a mission. You have
absolutely.
Purpose.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to continue the conversation on the flip side of a song that you have selected as one of your choice for today. It's the Eurythmics and Sweet Dreams. Eurythmics, Sweet Dreams are made of this. I'm in conversation with my special guest for the morning, Edward Lowe. Edward is a man on a mission, and quite rightly so. I think that nomenclature fits like a glove. He literally has had a life-changing experience that has led him to galvanize the community to help those that need it, or needed it so badly, and the mission continues. But to get into where we're going now, I just want to quickly segue and mention the fact that you're on the Dave Charles Show, brought to you by Bidvest McCarthy Toyota Bolito. On the Dave Charles Show, the world feels small. Tunes of frequency, answer the call. Radio Lifestyle 88 FM. Edward, we were talking about the beginning of it all, your kind of, shall we say, disappointment with South Africa and the corruption and the drama and the violence and the hopelessness of it all, and your family, your boys left the country. You felt there was no hope. Then came a disaster, a natural disaster, a tornado that ripped apart parts of our community, particularly the Tongaat area. And those that were affected worst were those that could least afford to be affected in that manner, and they had absolutely nothing. And then you, man alone, got a call from God, you say, which is interesting, and he told you, get up and get going. And you said, okay, where to from there? Let's just backtrack and take us through that story. Yeah. I know you've got, it is a story, it's a long one. You're writing a book at the moment.
Yes, I am. I'm busy writing a book called Walking in God's Plan, From Disaster to Hope. And it's literally from disaster to hope. If I just share a quick story, one of the most beautiful moments that I experienced through this entire journey that I had didn't actually happen in Tongaat. It actually happened in Zululami estate, where I was doing waterproofing and painting. And a chap got out of his car, his name's William, and he walked across to me and he said to me, I want to shake your hand. And I said to him, why? He says, you built that school in Makwaveni where I stay, Kokasiswe. I said, no, I know the school and it's a big pleasure. Thank you very much. He says, no, do you know what you actually did? I said, no, tell me. He said, you guys didn't arrive there with a bag of mealy meal and dropped it off and disappeared again. You came back day after day, week after week, and a year down the line, you are still coming back to make sure that we are fine. And what you did through that was to show us as a community we are still loved and we still cared for. And it made us stand up and start rebuilding things ourselves.
Wow.
That, to me, was the most beautiful moment ever in my life.
You've now got, well, many, many more institutions that you're taking care of.
Yes.
Is it sustainable, Edward?
You know, that is always the biggest problem. You know, for the last year and a half, you know, everybody that's worked with me and myself have been doing this at our own cost. You know, my small waterproofing and painting business has to pay for all the work that we do. And we've reached a stage now where this has become a permanent job for me. I have meeting upon meeting upon meeting to do the work that we do, because we have grown so much in the work that we do. Just our Feed a Child initiative, or that's to raise 30,000 meals. That's non-stop meetings. Then there's our Veggies for Kids with our primary schools to teach skills. So, you know, all of this is leading to something. We've planted that mustard seed here in Belita, and that tree has now come to fruition, and it's now busy spreading to other areas. And we've got corporate sponsors that are now, whose attention we got, that are now jumping on board, that have been helping us with our projects, sponsoring various of our projects. But again, you know, for myself too, my dream is to do this permanently. That's my dream. I believe that's my goal, that's my passion, and that's what his plan for me is to look after the future building blocks of our nation. You know, he said to me, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. And you know, and that really means so much to me. And I look at these children and they are so innocent and they are so beautiful. And if we don't take care of them, we're not going anywhere. And you know, people always ask me, you know, where do you want to go with all of this? You know, what's the end result? You know, because everything's got to lead to something. What do you really want to achieve? I would like for the Department of Education to include skills development back as part of the curriculum in our schools. We only have academic. And when I was at school, we had woodwork and we had all these different things that taught us to work with your hands. And today I have a waterproofing and painting company, so that's a perfect example that you can live with your hands. And we need that back into our school. So that's our end game. But this all started with a creche and then more creches. So our focus is to ensure that our creches are safe with our Safety for Kids initiative. And that's to ensure that all our fire blankets, fire extinguishers, first aid kits. And then we also provide them with basic first aid training and basic firefighting training. We will be finishing off the last of our Quarakuza creches on the 18th of this month. And the guys from the fire department gives us free basic firefighting training. And the guys at IPSS Medical Rescue and Search and Rescue provides us basic first aid training. So, you know, that's just the one side of our organization. But our most important side is the skills development side, where we work closely with the Department of Education, where we work at schools teaching school children on how to grow vegetables with limited water and limited space. And we do this with big sponsors like Stark Airs. Many of our local motor dealerships have sponsored a school. So we're on our fifth school now. So we just over 3,500 children that have learned a skill that they'll never forget. And guess how much it costs to teach a child the skill? R5.
Wow.
R5.
Your goal, your aim is to create a sustainable project that ultimately you devote the rest of your life to.
Yes.
There are examples in the community. I think of Titch Smith and his Live organization and how that's grown, and the orphan clothing company that sprang out of the fact that their orphans, when they reached the age of 18, were cast into the wind because that's where the care system ends and goodbye, and yes, it wasn't good enough. So he decided, or they did, no, we take it further and we go further and further. And it all seems to be a faith-based drive as
well. You
know,
it's so amazing you mentioned that. We as an organization, Restore Africa Foundation, work very closely with many other NPOs and NGOs. We are solidly in the belief, and Desmond Tutu actually said this, if we all do a little bit of good where we are, or there's little bits of good added together that overwhelms the world. And we are saying, well, you know, at the end of the day, when there's money going around to support NPOs and NGOs and so forth, I mean, you've got the guys loving the animals, you've got guys loving the old people, you've got guys looking after children. So there's a small piece of pie for everybody. So what we're saying is, well, here's my small piece of the pie, you bring your small piece of the pie, and you bring yours, and we add it together, and poof, we've got a full pie. And, you know, that's how we need to work. You know, we are an organization that work very closely with our private sector as well as the public sector. At the end of the day, the public sector, yes, they failed, right? Where do we fix it? This is where we are now. We work to work, have to work hand in hand. So we've got a beautiful relationship with the Department of Education as well as the Department of Social Development. The Department of Education have given us 132 schools to roll our veggies for kids out to. So that's a massive undertaking, and we are really hoping after the 12 schools we've committed to complete that, you know, we'll get them to, you know, financially help us to get this done. But, you know, we would like to eventually roll this out to every primary school in a rural area to teach children basic agricultural skills.
And what you say is incredibly on trend, I think, with what intelligent people in our beloved country have come to realize. That in order for us to fix what is wrong with South Africa, it's going to take a partnership, and it's going to take that public-private partnership, and it's going to take a huge amount of effort and goodwill and inspiration, which is where you and people like you play such an important role. But you say you're simply an agent for a higher power.
Yes.
Where did that come from? Have you always been an agent for higher power? Or
no,
did you have a life-changing experience? Because, you know, everyone's got a story.
I just one day woke up after my divorce and my ex-wife moved down to Belito, and she brought the kids down here, and I was still in Nelspruit. And I just woke up and I had a feeling to go to church. And I did. And I remember in the prayer, the pastor, priest, I can't remember what it was, he asked, you know, who wants to know God better? And I put my hand up. And in any case, so I got pulled into an Alpha course. And that was my highlight of the week, was that Thursday Alpha call. I could not wait to go to that. It's funny enough, our disaster management meetings also used to be on a Thursday, and I couldn't wait to go to those either. That was just amazing to see what amazing happens if you listen. But in any case, So
you were just an ordinary oak, living an ordinary life, and then you had drama, personal drama.
Yes.
And often it's an adversity that makes one humble enough to find possibly another way.
You know, I actually ask God why. You know, why did we have to have a tornado? Why did we have to lose 14 lives for change to happen? And he said to me, unfortunately, there are sacrifices to be made for people to stand up and realize you have to. And that's as sad as it is, you know, losing, getting divorced, whatever, you know, to make that change. But yeah, so
how do you feel? Do you feel like a changed person as a result of that experience and the continuing experiences that you go through every day?
I'm no angel nor saint, let me just put that out there, you know. But I, you know, I'm probably the only person that wakes up on a Monday morning going like, God, I can't wait to see what you're going to do this week. And it's just non-stop. It's just non-stop, you know. I just need more people to help me.
What do you say to those that think that religion or faith or the idea of a God is a somewhat.
It is so funny you mention that. So I remember in the first meeting we had at the disaster management meeting, I stood up, I said, I'd like to open this in prayer. And I couldn't believe I said that because I don't pray in front of people. And I prayed, and the meeting just calmed down. And I remember, well, I'm Catholic, so I remember having a meeting with Father Stephen, and I said, Father Stephen, I have a bit of an issue. I'd like to open with prayer in every one of these meetings, but we have Muslims and Hindus and many other faiths. sorry. So Father Stephen says to me, well, you know what, why don't you ask him to all open in their own religion? And I thought, oh, that's a brilliant idea. So I phoned Abed Karim, he's one of the directors for the International Alam Dard Foundation, and I said, this is what Father Stephen says. And he turned around as a Muslim and he said to me, you know what, we all serve the same God. I just got to know him differently than what you got to know. And I sat there and I looked at those people, and they're doing exactly what Jesus Christ said. Jesus Christ said, love your neighbor as yourself and honor your God with all that you are. And that's exactly what they're doing. And it just really opened my eyes.
So you're all inclusive in your understanding,
yes, I am,
of the work that you're doing.
Yes, I am all inclusive, but I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. That's why Easter is a very special time for me. We got donated 2,000 Easter eggs. I couldn't believe it. So they're busy going out to creches, and with the Easter eggs, I've got literature in Zulu for children that's going out with these Easter eggs. So we are really using this to spread the good news and spread hope.
Edward, you're doing incredible work, and I must say I'm humbled by you and your energy and your enthusiasm and your genuine desire to make a difference. You're a great example of hope.
Do you know what it's like to have hope?
Well,
when you haven't had hope for such a long time, for the first time in, I'm now 51, and for the first time I can say literally in the last 2 years, I've actually hope. I can see the change. It's just unbelievable. And I always ask God, why now? Why only now? And I get reminded, you know, we all have to walk a path in life. And I had to do my proverbial 40 years in the desert to learn what I had to learn to be able to be here right now. And going back, how many times I was angry at my situations then. But now looking back, I can see why I had to go through those situations to learn to do what I'm doing right now.
Anyone listening to this that has been inspired and would like to be part of or to assist in the work that you're doing, how can they go about that?
Please phone me. Please phone me. My number is all over. Please follow our page, Restore Africa Foundation. That's very important. You know, a lot of people always ask me, how can I help? I don't have time. I don't have money. You know what? Just that like and share might drop that mustard seed with the right person. And it might sprout and blossom just because you liked and shared.
So now this is going up as a podcast all over the place, and we've got a video that's also rolling as we speak. It's an opportunity to put that number into the set. Won't you give us the contact details?
Okay, my number is 061-145-3512. 061-145-3512.
And I really encourage you, if you have been moved or inspired or in any way keen to find out more about what Edward and his team and his organization is all about and how you can contribute to the marvelous work that they're doing, that is the number to ring. And I think that it's fair to say, Edward, that you welcome as much contact as possible, because you're going to need more and more as this demand grows and continues, and it looks like it's going to become something really massive, movement.
I truly believe that what we have started in Belita is going to be the role model or the role plan or the plan on how to fix things. I think we've actually started that revolution right here, that revolution of change and hope. I'm a soldier for children, armed with the Bible, bringing hope. And once you have hope, like that gentleman said, you know, you gave us hope. We stood up ourselves and we fixed things ourselves. And that to me, you know, if we have our children and we can get our children to grow up with hope, we have hope. And this is going to be a long and hard path. This is not going to be a quick fix. There's no such thing as a quick fix. But we need to start somewhere. And we started it right here in Melita.
Good man. My special guest for the morning, Edward Lowe from the Restore Africa Foundation. If you can get involved, please do. It's going to take a lot of effort and a lot of support to change South Africa for the best, but we're on the right path now. Thanks so much for joining me on the morning show, Edward, and more strength to you, Bo.
Thank you very much, Charles.